Bengals on top, and to a lot they in the underdog slot. But the fact is they're the champs of the AFC North. A playoff berth is what they got. Ain't had a shot since it was 2015. Time to play like they've been here before. Jamar Chase, you can't ignore. That's a grown man. Thought you could slow him, then realized he got his
own. Hey, how you guys doing? This is Producer from Brothers Comics. Welcome to the Who Day Over 40 podcast for long time, long suffering Cincinnati Bengals fans. Who day, everybody? It is free agency, y'all, and the subtitle of tonight's show is Who Day Over 40 versus the First 48. Free agency started Monday at noon. We are, I guess, Tuesday, 7 o'clock-ish or so into day two of free agency. The Bengals started off slow. You know, they had us in the first half meme, but they picked it up later in the part of day one. And a little bit into day two, there's all kinds of news and notes going on. So we're going to dive right into it. And the first thing, again, if you're watching on YouTube, you can follow along. The first thing before free agency started, T. Higgins' agent requests a trade for T. Higgins. Allegedly, he said that the Bengals had not negotiated for a long-term extension since March of 23, but we're calling cap on that because there's been talk of all the way really going up to training camp last year that they thought they could get a deal done for him. T gets the franchise tag early in the process, and we're in this bit about, okay, are we going to hold T. Higgins or not? We're going to trade him. Again, the Bengals' plan has always been for them to hold T. Higgins on this franchise tag for this season to try to go win a Super Bowl. And I don't think anything in that plan has changed at all. And good luck with this. You know, again, if you're a short-term Bengal fan, and I would say like you've been a Bengal fan when you were a kid during the Marvin Lewis era. So let's say you started with Marv and you were 13 in 2013 or 2003. And now we're, what, 21 years later, you're 34. You know, the Bengals have been run a certain way for a long time under Mike Brown. And there's been disgruntled players before 2003, and there's been disgruntled players after that. But forcing Mike Brown to do anything is, it's fool's gold, okay? I know the biggest example is Carson Palmer. Like, well, Carson Palmer got out. Yeah, because the Raiders were stupid enough to give up two first-round picks for Carson Palmer, and a second, I believe. They gave up too much. But if nobody would have come calling for Carson Palmer, Mike Brown would have gladly let him sit at home and never play football again because he's a stubborn old man. And whereas that does have some benefits, it's also like kind of in his nature to be that way. You know, before the rookie scale, how many Bengals first round picks were drafted and their agents thought that they were going to hold out and, you know, get some extra money out of the Bengals? That doesn't happen with them, man. Again, they're run differently than they have in the past. The rookie salary scale, which was championed by the Brown family, like that is something that, you know, benefits them. But if you think for a second that they're going to be moved by the idea that T. Higgins' agent requested a trade, you haven't been paying attention. Additionally, it was a request for a trade. It wasn't demand for a trade. T. Higgins is going to sign the franchise tag. I'm sure he'll skip all the offseason stuff just like Jesse Bates did last year. He'll sign the tag and play for the $21 million. No, but he's not sitting out on the tag. Like, oh, he's not going to play. Yeah, BS. There's only been a couple of players that have ever sat out on that franchise tag and didn't play, Le'Veon Bell being the most recent of the bunch of them, and he was literally never the same after that. You don't flush this kind of money down the toilet. He'll play. Hopefully he'll play well. He has every incentive to play well. If, you know, if he plays well, the Bengals play well, you go to the playoffs, win a Super Bowl, thankfully, hopefully, then, you know, he's going to have even more money waiting for him at the end of that. But for right now, it's just, you know, this is agent talk. It's that time of season. Allegedly, there hasn't been any calls by any team looking to trade for T. Higgins, and I don't expect that to change at all. Well, except for maybe one, but we'll get to that here at the end of the presentation. But yeah, so T sitting at home, probably a little upset with his jellyfish and all of that, but we fully expect to see him once we get into, you know, mandatory camp in the summer. But I don't think anybody's going to be trading for T. Higgins, nor do I think the Bengals want to trade him, with that exception that we'll talk about in a little bit. Next up, it's day one of free agency, y'all. And again, like I said, that meme, you know, they had us in the first half. Look, this has been a process over the years for the Bengals, whereas they used to never participate in free agency. And y'all like C-level free agents. Nope. D, E, F. Is there a lower letter than that, you know, in the pre-Marvin era? And then once Marv got in there, he got them to spend a little bit of money. And there'd be a couple of years where they would sign some players like, oh, okay, you know, they're trying to do something, which I would call probably B-level free agents. But, you know, they still would really be on the end of that and trying to draft their players, you know, at various levels of success. Now under Zach Taylor, the Bengals, and I would say under the Joe Burrow era, they have really kind of flipped that and have been spending money in the attempts to get, I would say, B plus A minus free agents to be able to fill the holes on your team. Something that, again, they really didn't do under Marvin. And had they done that under Marvin Lewis, there's a possibility that we wouldn't have been talking about a 30-year playoff drought, that they possibly could have won a game if they had filled in those roles with better players and assuming that draft picks are going to come in or assuming that a draft pick was going to get better. But even under Zach Taylor, they have always been a little bit slow to pull the trigger, except for, what, 2 years ago when they signed Kappa and Karras in the first 10 minutes of the legal tampering period. But every other year, it's been kind of slow. Usually, it may be something on day one, but really kind of killing day two and day three and cleaning up on the, you know, the leftovers of B and C level free agents to be able to round out the roster. But on day one of free agency, I think this was a troll, to be honest with you. The first deal that they announced is Drew Sample, 3 years, about $10 million for the tight end, former second round pick. My note on here is find somebody that loves you the way the Bengals love Drew Sample. They love this man. He's coming off an ACL from last year. And to be fair, he did play a lot better in terms of his ability to receive the ball. You know, he had a big touchdown in Buffalo and he had that touchdown against the Steelers as well. Like, I mean, he played better. Chances are he is still the starter based on even the information that we're going to talk about in a little bit. But like, it's Drew Sample, man. Like, I mean, you know what you're going to get. He's going to show up. He's going to play. He's going to block fairly well, which is what he's supposed to be known for. You're not paying him any real money. I mean, he probably doesn't see the third year of that deal anyway. So, yeah, that was the first pick. But, I mean, to announce that as your first free agent acquisition, even though it was one of, you know, technically one of your own, the Bengals was trolling. After that, they tried to troll some even more where they announced a one-year deal for Travion Williams, the, I would say, third/fourth string running back on the Cincinnati Bengals. Man, come on, son. Like, if these are your first two picks, it sent people into what I would call a frenzy of just free agency. You know, people that cheer for the Bengals, who, again, some people lived this before in the Marvin era, where it's like, what in the world? They're not doing anything. As big name after big name comes off the board, you're announcing the re-signings of players that, and at least in Travion Williams, is easily replaceable. It probably doesn't even make the team depending on what happens in the draft. So yay, Travion's back. I think we all had a level of expectation for him at some point in time, but he's entering into year six. He is what he is. He's just another guy. And again, I'll be very surprised if he and Chris Evans are on this team once the season rolls around. So as everybody got into their frenzy, and I mean a frenzy about the Bengals not doing anything, they do announce their first outside free agent. It's Geno Stone, safety for the Baltimore Ravens, 2 years, $15 million for him to come in and play essentially free safety, the position that they had Dax Hill in most of last season as he replaced Jesse Bates once he signed his deal with the Falcons. And so now Stone comes in. He had 7 interceptions last year for the Ravens as their defense was one of the best in the league. I ain't not going to sit here and tell you, but like, oh, you know, we're going to examine some film about Josh Stone. Okay, he's going to be the free safety. Great. What are you doing with Dax Hill? Because he was a first-round pick 3 years ago at this point. What are you going to do? He doesn't really play his first year. Second year, played a little bit okay at the start, but then kind of fell off. Bengals draft Jordan Battle last year in the third round, and he came in and played fairly well, where Dax Hill looked really lost in the second half of the season. And so there's been this offseason talk about, well, what are we going to do? What's this real position? Is he going to play in the slot? Well, that's where Mike Hilton is, even though Mike Hilton only has 1 year left on his deal. But did you spend a first-round draft pick on a slot cornerback? Oh, he's going to be the tight end specialist. He'll be D-ing people up in these three safety sets. Again, a valuable position, you know, in a division that has some fairly good tight ends, but a first round pick. So what happens with Dax Hill here? I don't think he's going to get traded or anything like that. I hope they don't try to move him to outside cornerback, which I think would be a terrible idea, but you definitely have this situation about what you're going to do with him now. You know, or do you play like kind of the two full free safeties and Jordan Battle becomes your kind of your third safety where you have Geno Stone and Dax Hill that can cover a lot of ground with their athleticism and, you know, Geno Stone's experience and skill to make up for his lack of athleticism. Maybe you go that route. It certainly won't be Nick Scott. I fully expect him to be cut here within the next few days or hours. And so, again, it's a Dax Hill question. But, yeah, Geno Stone comes in. You take a player from a division rival. That's always fun. We'll talk at a different podcast about what's going on in the division later on when we bring Hutch back on. But, yeah, good deal. Most people seemed happy with it. There was a lot of predictions that he might wind up in Cincinnati anyway. So, yeah, good deal for the Bengals. And you didn't really pay any real money. Also, in the nighttime, after I had already gone to bed, the Bengals announced that they assigned Zach Moss, running back from the Indianapolis Colts, 2 years, $8 million. Now, if you believe in the nerd statistics and all of those, you know, wins over replacement and yards based on average, all that nerd stuff that has really ruined football, the nerds love him. You know, he has a lot of nerd stats that those people like in comparison to Joe Mixon. You know, I assume that he comes in to become the starter and Chase Brown becomes the, you know, the running back by committee situation. If you believe the nerds or whatever, Moss is not necessarily good out of the backfield catching the ball, but he's very good at picking up the blitz, which was an area that Joe Mixon struggled with last year and for previous years with the Bengals. And so, you know, maybe there's some sort of rotation that you have with these guys. Man, Travion Williams or some other draft pick or somebody else that they pick up. But, yeah, I mean, you know, he's got some speed. He's younger than Joe Mixon. He and Chase Brown can be this, you know, kind of lightning combination. Again, nerd stat, he's very good in short yardage, which the Bengals have struggled in essentially for my entire life. You know, see Pete Johnson, Super Bowl, you know, it's always been there. So maybe they can get something going with him and Chase Brown as your primary two running backs out of committee here. So I go to bed, and I heard about this thing with Zach Moss, you know, as my son comes running into the room to tell me that he signed him. But the opposite side of that was that the Bengals had cut Joe Mixon. Now, this had been in the works for a while now. He had that roster bonus. If you've been in one of our earlier podcasts about March 17th, they had a major roster bonus. He was going to cost close to $8 million on the cap. Like, they just weren't going to do that. That was put in when he restructured his deal last year. And, you know, probably in a situation to try to force the Bengals to make a decision on him early. And if they weren't going to keep him, they could cut him loose and get him into free agency, which we'll talk about here in a second. But, yeah, so within a few minutes of one another, they signed Zach Moss. They cut Joe Mixon. And that's that. But I'm going to jump ahead to day two because this has happened during day two. So the Bengals cut Joe Mixon, but later on in the day during day two today, it was determined that the Bengals weren't going to cut him as there was information out there that Joe was going to wind up signing in, I think it was with the Chargers, but he doesn't sign with the Chargers. The Bengals wind up trading Joe Mixon to the Houston Texans for a rumored fourth round draft pick. So the Bengals get a pick. You get off of Joe Mixon's contract. You only eat the like $2 million in dead cap. And, you know, Joe Mixon's, you know, headed over to the Texans. So what's Joe Mixon's legacy? You know, it got a little crowded and goofy it started kind of crowded and goofy as he dropped to the second round because of the incident that he had at Oklahoma. He came to Cincinnati. Marvin doesn't like to play young players, and he was kind of in a running back kind of by committee kind of situation there with Giovanni Bernard and oh God, I put his name out of my head because of the fumble against Pittsburgh, but he was kind of in that. And then as that started to tail off, you know, he became the lead back. Never had an offensive line that anybody would write home to, that's for sure. But he made it work, had several thousand-yard seasons. You know, in the Marvin era, he really wasn't used to catch the ball out of the backfield. That kind of started to happen more during the Zach era. Continually struggled with picking up blitzes and, you know, got the quarterback killed. But the man never fumbled or rarely fumbled. And he didn't fumble at all last year in like 1,300 yards and all those touches. I mean, like, Joe Mixon has to have a very positive legacy for the city of Cincinnati. He seemed to be a leader on the field. He was always hyped. If you ever seen those videos of him in the locker room, on the field, kids loving, families loved him. I know it started off bad. He had that incident last summer that almost got him cut. And there was a couple of other incidents that were kind of spark ups. But I mean, he'd been fairly clean through the 7+ years that he'd been in Cincinnati. So yeah, it's sad to see him go. My son has his jersey. So yeah, it's kind of tough to see him go, but this is the nature of the NFL. Since the NFL doesn't have guaranteed contracts and they love parity, you know, once players get to where he is age-wise, 28, especially almost 30 for a running back, you know, you got a lot of wear and tear on those tires. You know, he wasn't the same back the last couple of years. His ability to get to break away had kind of gone away. You know, nerd stat says that he doesn't break tackles anymore. Like, I mean, it's just time. It's felt like it was time. It sucks that he didn't get a chance to win the Super Bowl with the Bengals. He was such an important part of that particular Super Bowl, throwing that touchdown to T. Higgins. Like, I mean, he had a great year, that Super Bowl year as well. Like, it just seemed like it was time for him to go. And it sucks. It sucks. I said this on Twitter that the NFL should have some version of the Larry Bird exemption that the NBA has, which allows like older players to stay with one team and not count fully against the salary cap. It should be something like that for the NFL too. Like, you can't have all the players, obviously not, but you should be able to designate a couple of people like, hey, you know, we're going to pay them for their essentially lifetime service award. And then it's not going to count fully against the salary cap. So that person can play and retire and stay with their one last team. And it's going to be weird seeing Joe Mixon play for the Texans. That's going to be weird. It would have been even weirder seeing him play for the Chargers, you know. But, you know, the way of the NFL right now, and again, free agency, you're seeing all these dudes move on to go to new teams. And, you know, but Joe's going to get his money. So I'm happy for him in that regards that he didn't get cut. You know, the Texans assume that salary part. And, you know, he's going to wind up getting paid at least for this season here with the Texans. So, yeah, goodbye, Joe Dean, man. You are you're a really good player for the Bengals, really good for, you know, the team. And I think in the community, too, again, barring those couple of incidents here at the end of the career. But whatever. All right. Day one of free agency also, Bengals signed linebacker Akeem Davis-Gaither, 1 year, $3 million. It was definitely plotted out that he was going to leave, like, because he didn't really get a lot of playing time at linebacker last year, you know, where they wind up going with Logan Wilson and Jermaine Pratt pretty much as three down linebackers for the both of them, whereas Pratt early in his career was only a two down linebacker. Maybe we need to get Davis-Gaither back on the field in those third down situations, because Pratt and Wilson did not play well last year. And maybe inserting another linebacker, or maybe even another linebacker there that's not Joe Bachy, you know, or like, those dudes are special teams players and you really don't want to see them on the field too often. Maybe finding another linebacker that is a, you know, I'm saying that they should try to sign Devin White because I don't think he'll cost that much. You know, somebody that's a first, second down thumper in the run game, and then rotate these guys out so that you can have some fresh linebackers overall. Because, again, that was a big struggle for Pratt and Wilson last year. They played more snaps. They didn't play well either. And, you know, they're trying to run that back without some quality backups is probably, you know, a bad idea. But, yeah, $3 million for Akeem Davis-Gaither. Familiar with the system. You know, again, the Bengals didn't pay any real money for him either. All right, so we get into day two of free agency, and this is the day the Bengals like to clean up on. You know, day two, day three, they like to sweep in, maybe get a couple of multi-year deals, but then day three, get their one-year deals for the people that they like that they don't want to overpay for. So today they get a one-year deal for tight end Mike Gesicki, a last of the Patriots, but prior to that on the Dolphins, gets a one-year deal worth $3 million. He is a very good tight end. So I've been in South Florida since when he was drafted by the Dolphins. And like that dude can catch. He can run routes. He can. He couldn't block anything. But he's not going to be an inline linebacker or inline tight end. He's going to be, you know, out in the slot or stretched out even further wide. He is a nightmare. He's got to be 6'6". You can't put freaking linebackers on him in the slot for sure. And your safety better be kind of, you know, tall in and of itself, or he's just going to catch everything over you. The way that Burrow likes to throw the ball, the high point and back shoulders, I mean, he should thrive in this. And I fully expect him to be here for 1 year and get a fat ass contract and pull the Hayden Hurst and CJ Uzama and get out of town to another team with a big money deal. Now, he was rumored to come here last year as well, but it didn't happen. So I think this is a solid pickup for them. It doesn't take them out of the tight end market in terms of the draft, but now at least you have Drew Sample as your starter, Gesicki as your backup. And then you'll see what happens with Tanner Hudson, who hasn't signed with the Bengals or with anybody else. But you're still going to draft a tight end anyway. You know, that's a given at this point. You know, what round it determines, you know, if Brock Bowers somehow falls to 18, I guess that could happen. But, like, you really need another tight end anyway. So this is a good pickup for the Bengals offense. You know, maybe he's the slot that replaces Tyler Boyd, who still hasn't had any traction with the team in and of itself. But maybe he lines up in the slot to replace that position as well. You know, I mean, this is a good pickup for the Bengals. He is a true mismatch for pretty much anybody and everybody. You know, he just didn't fit the scheme in Miami anymore when they brought in their new coach. And then he went to New England and everything fell apart up there. I mean, I could have played quarterback for them at some point. All right. So day two, y'all, where's the beef? Again, we're recording it a little after 7 o'clock. If you're on YouTube, I have my phone here. I got my tablet here waiting for an alert of some sort that, hey, the Bengals signed like a defensive tackle or a right tackle or something like that. Where's the beef, man? You've addressed positions that are important to the team, no doubt about it. But where's the beef? You still don't have a right tackle. You still don't have a defensive tackle on the team outside B.J. Hill and Zach Clark. That ain't it, man. You need some beef. We need to sign some players, and I don't know who those players are going to be. We'll do a little bit of speculation. I don't like doing that too much, but we'll speculate a little bit because some of the names are pretty much the same that you've been seeing. But for some reason, the Bengals have not signed any of the beef guys. And I've said on here before, there's no way they're going into the season like, well, we're going to draft rookie defensive tackles and right tackles and try to roll it out that way. Nah, son, that's not going to work. You know, inexperienced players like that usually don't come in and, you know, make those types of contributions. And now you have this extra third round pick that they got from the compensatory screw up that the NFL had. Now you have the extra fourth round pick, allegedly. So now you have 2/3 and 2/4. That's great. But still, you can't be dependent upon rookies to come in on a championship team and expect that to happen. Those dudes should be backups and backups and further back. You need some veteran experience there to win championships. So where's the beef? Y'all really need to find some players that can do that. And like I said, the Bengals haven't spent any real money. I mean, honestly, probably between the signing bonuses, what have they spent? $20 million? Maybe? The cap hit isn't nearly that much for those contracts. What are we doing here? You have the money to spend. There's been players that are coming off the board that I thought the Bengals would be interested in. Maybe they weren't interested in them at that number. That's fine. What's going on? Or, and again, if you're on YouTube, or it could be this. All right, so the rumor mill is out of control today. Absolutely out of control. So we get into the afternoon hours of today, and Bengals hadn't done anything. Where's the beef? Who are we going to sign? Like, I have no idea what's going on. Look, you know, hook it up, do something. Nothing. And so Ja'Marr Chase tweets out from his Twitter account, his official Twitter account, like, this is going to be a crazy story to tell. I'm paraphrasing. And so that sent Bengals Twitter into an absolute frenzy. Like, oh, because allegedly reported earlier in the day that the Vikings had offered Justin Jefferson a $30 million contract last year that he turned down, per year average, that he turned down. So there's always going to be that rumor out there until Justin Jefferson signs a contract long term with the Vikings or somebody else that he's going to want to reunite with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase in Cincinnati. We speculated on it ourselves because the longer it went, like, oh, wait a minute, he hasn't signed an extension yet. He's been eligible for almost two seasons now. Why haven't they signed the extension? And then Kirk Cousins signs a huge deal with the Falcons. And now the Vikings literally have no quarterback. They just signed Sam Darnold. So again, the Vikings literally have no quarterback. So what are they going to do? You're going to keep Justin Jefferson there and playing with a rookie, with J.J. McCarthy, somebody, Jaden Daniels, maybe somebody that falls to them? That's probably not what he wants. He's already about to go into his fifth year here within the league, and you're going to pair him up with a rookie? You know, the guy wants to win. So that rumor is being out there, you know, T is unhappy, allegedly. Jefferson, allegedly unhappy. Ja'Marr tweets this. And it's like, well, that gets the rumors going. Maybe that, you know, they could send T to Minnesota, although I don't know why he would want to go there unless they pay him a huge bag. T to Minnesota and Justin Jefferson to Cincinnati, which would be crazy and it would be great. And I'm saying all of this not thinking that it's actually going to happen, maybe in the 15% possibility that it's going to happen. But it's going to be out there until Jefferson signs somewhere or they decide to trade. The Bengals have a player and a pick that probably the Vikings are obviously going to be into rebuilding mode. They haven't signed Daniel Hunter back either. Like, it sounds like they want to do the full rebuild. And even though you would want Justin Jefferson there, he is a wide receiver. Allegedly, they're replaceable, although he's really, really good. If he doesn't want to be there playing for a rookie on a team that doesn't have a real chance to win a championship within the next 2 to 3 years, although that money would be great, it's probably would rather have a chance to win someplace else. So, yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's good to speculate about it. Maybe, like I said, a 15% chance that it happens. But until something else goes through, you know, and even, you know, Ja'Marr tried to be like, hey, you know, Jeddah, tell these people, I'm like, you know, answer these people's questions. Then, you know, Jefferson's Twitter has gone silent as well. Again, if you want to breathe into the rumors or whatever, like, oh, well, what the heck? You know, the Bengals haven't done anything. Are they holding this money back because they're trying to do this deal with Jefferson and they're trying to work out all the details? I only say one thing about that. You better be right, because if you do this, yeah, T. Higgins ain't coming back, and nor would I. Okay, I'm not coming back if you tried to trade me and it doesn't work out. Like, no hard feelings. Nah, son. There's definitely hard feelings, and I ain't coming back there, and you're going to have to figure that shit out on your own. So, we'll see on day three. So, what are the expectations for day three, y'all? Need to add a right tackle and a defensive tackle, at least one. Whether it's DJ Reader or somebody else that's close to 80% of that, maybe DJ Reader and another player, you need to add at least two defensive tackles because they don't have any depth there. You also need a right tackle. Every second that goes by is a second that Jonah Williams might wind up being back on the Bengals. And the market was very soft for him. I'm very surprised that this actually happened. So, yeah, it's a little bit interesting that I think he thought he was going to get a bag. He played Jonah Williams just on right tackle last year. Not like he's average as grits. And I think, you know, some teams are pretty smart to know that we're not going to pay premium money for average. And that's exactly what Jonah is. So you have to wonder if there's any hard feelings with the Bengals. Maybe they don't want to, maybe they don't want to enter into that kind of agreement themselves. If that makes sense, like, we don't want to get into this type of agreement, you know, with a player of that nature for anything long term. So is there a short-term deal there for just, you know, for Jonah Williams that he could come back? Or you say, forget it, pay even less money, get a Mekhi Becton-like player. I think I read somewhere he's, you know, alleged for $4 million and a one-year prove-it deal, although he's consistently injured. Maybe you pay for that. Trent Brown is still out there as well. Like, I mean, there's some players there. It's just trying to match up how much the Bengals want to spend. But if you were able to sign a quality right tackle that could start right away, it really frees up 18. And knowing the Bengals, they'd probably trade out of it unless somebody just fell to them in their laps. So we'll see what happens on day three. I fully expect the Bengals to be crazy active tomorrow on Wednesday, signing, you know, several players to one year and 2 year deals. Maybe they get somebody that's out there that nobody expected, like an Arik Armstead or something like that. Maybe they're in on that and they do have some money. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, we'll have to keep watching. So we'll be back in a couple of days, maybe tomorrow, to see how this goes. We definitely want to make sure that they have good players moving forward, as the other teams in the division have definitely, you know, signed some players to get better, and the Bengals need to match that movement, you know, moving forward. It can't just be this, oh, okay, you know, Joe Burrow's coming back and we're going to be good from there. All right. So we'll see you on the other side. Have a good night. If they sign somebody crazy before freaking I can go to bed tonight, we'll jump back on with an emergency pod to talk about that. All right. Hoo day, everybody. Peace.